Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Love with romantic comedies all over again, one decade at a time. I'm Jess Darling, and of course, I am joined by my co-host, who is more beautiful than Cinderella, who smells like pine needles, and has a face like sunshine, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
At least I am all those things when it's not coming out of me when like lava.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm gonna get that quote out of the way.
Yeah, people have already turned off the podcast.
Exactly. Setting the tone. That's it.
That's where the tone is.
Space now. Well, I mean, really, I mean, I think people know this by now with the tone of our podcast.
That's true.
Like that.
Yeah. Today we're talking about Bridesmaids, the 2011 romantic comedy. And yes, this is a romantic comedy. I have had three separate conversations, including the one with you, Stuart, where I was questioned about how Bridesmaids is a comedy. And I had to remind people, there is indeed a romantic storyline in this film. Is it the sole focus? Yeah. No, it's not.
No.
Because it's about girl power and relationships and friendships. Okay?
Heaven forbid a film passed the Bechdel test.
Yes. God forbid we have female friendships being the main storyline. Jeez.
I think the reason why I was questioning it is mostly because I didn't really remember the rom. I only remembered the com. Like, there's so many great quotes from this film and like iconic scenes and obviously like a stacked cast. And it's kind of crazy to me that the romantic element of it is completely just goes out of my brain, despite it being actually quite a sweet. And I mean, in some ways, a good romance, I think. Like, it's not the most, like, sweep you off your feet, big gesture moment or anything like that. It's kind of just a bit of an understated, oh, they're cute together. I like this.
Yeah, this guy's nice.
I'm here for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk all of that through, of course. If you haven't already, subscribe. You Had Me At Podcast. Follow us everyone on social media. Find us on YouTube. You Had Meat Pod. And if you want to send in your feedback, youhadmeatpod@gmail.com. That's M-E-A-T. Now, before we dive too far into all of this, let's do a quick little recap at the top. For those who didn't rewatch the film, I know our friend of the podcast, Todd the Librarian, the cringe factor is too high for him. Understandably, I kind of figured that he is someone who's not a big fan of like the fart poop joke moment. So I figured the food poisoning would be, no-go for some people. But let's give a little recap at the top. Annie has been struggling since her bakery went out of business in the recession. She lives with terrible roommates, has a job she hates, and constantly resorts to casual sex with a self-absorbed loser. She does, however, have a great childhood best friend in Lillian. But things change when Lillian gets engaged and Annie is asked to be the maid of honor. Annie meets Lillian's new friend, Helen, who is a fancy pants rich bitch, and they clash over their bid for Lillian's attention. Making matters worse is the fact that Annie can't afford an expensive bridesmaid's dress or a bachelorette party in Vegas, and she ruins both with unfortunate food poisoning and a bad combination of sleeping pills and alcohol. Lillian takes maid of honor duties off her plate and hands them over to Helen, and Annie continues to spiral downhill, getting fired from her job, kicked out of her apartment, and ruining her budding romance with Rhodes, an Irish cop who loves a baby carrot. Things come to a head at Lillian's bridal shower when Helen gifts Lil a trip to Paris, stealing an idea she got from Annie, of course. And Annie flips out, destroys a massive cookie, throws grass in the chocolate fountain, and screams about bleached assholes. Lillian uninvites her from the wedding, and thus their friendship is over. Until Helen can't find Lil on the morning of her wedding and enlists Andy to help. Turns out Lillian was overwhelmed by the extravagance of the wedding Helen has planned, and down-to-earth Annie is the only one who can help. The wedding is ridiculous. Say hello to Wilson Phillips. And Annie makes up with Rhodes, a cab, but still pretty cute. And of course, I'm sure we'll get into all of the rest of the bridesmaids in the bridal party and just how iconic all of them are. And that was Bridesmaids, Stuart.
I think a pivotal film. I think it's one of those films that I think everyone likes. I don't know anyone that dislikes this film. Like, yeah, you can say that it's a one-time watch because of the cringe factor, and there is a lot of cringe in this, but it's so evocative of the comedy at the time. Like, this is very reminiscent of like The Office in terms of the awkwardness and that, but also the just, I think, I don't know, just savagery with which people insult each other and have that kind of like throwing barbs back and forth. I feel
it
like
feels
this
like
is
a very
quintessential
typical, like,
at the time.
Yeah, like SNL comedy where so much of it is improv'd. So many of these comedians work together, so you could just sense that chemistry on screen. It really feels like they're like, okay, well, we're going to put you in a situation. We'll give you a few lines and then you all just take it from there. And I totally agree with you on the cringe comedy sort of. Like, there are moments that feel they're intentionally trying to make you uncomfortable. For me, it's not so much the poops stuff, more so honestly the worst cringy moment for me, I think, is the speeches at the engagement party. Kills me every time. It goes on for so long, especially when Annie starts speaking in Spanish. I'm like, please, someone make her stop. Tackle her.
It's horrendous. I messaged you the other day and was like, I'm 23 minutes in and I've had to pause because I can't handle it. That was like on the second round of them like doing the competing like speeches back and forth. I then, when I jumped back in after like bolstering my confidence and be like, no, you can do this, Joey. I mean, you're a professional podcaster, you've got to. This is your job. It's not job, but you know what I mean. And I jumped back in. I was like, oh God, it goes on for even longer. Yeah. Oh, they're still, oh my God, we haven't even got to the singing yet. This is terrible.
The singing is actually the worst, though.
I hate it really bad. So much.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this, but I will. Where I work, there's many people in senior leadership, and occasionally there is this kind of like dynamic, especially once when we merged companies together, where one boss would give a speech and then another one would like chime in with their own speech as well, and we were in that kind of like, I experienced that in real life, and so it's horrible to be there in the moment because you're just like, you find it amusing but you can't laugh. And I'm like,
especially because it also kind of gives the vibe. Honestly, any speech at like any event is always hit or miss, but it reminds me almost of like at a wedding when you have like the maid of honor speech and it's filled with inside jokes and it's like, stop, because literally the only people who get these are the bride and groom. Like, no one else knows what you're talking about. When Rose Byrne, Helen calls him like Dougley or whatever the hell she calls Doug, it's just like, oh sorry, inside joke. Like, shut up, Helen. If I was Annie, I would also hate Helen.
Oh yeah,
is just so uppity and so full of herself. I would positively despise Helen. I would not be able to help it. Oh, I can't.
Yeah, like she just exhibits so much just rich mean girl energy, but it comes with this, oh, I've grown up, I'm no longer a mean girl. You know it's there. Like, you just know that, like, it's deeper than the surface of it. And I'm gonna, and it's the kind of meanness that's exhibited through kindness and just extravagance and need to like put at least someone down. Like, she knows exactly what she's doing throughout this entire film, right? Like, there's no way that she's that oblivious that she doesn't realize how she is absolutely undermining Annie's role as chief bridesmaid, maid of honor, whatever it is, and best friend. Like, don't trample on that ground. Like, know
this
your role.
Sacred
here
ground.
In this whole
situation. Your new friend, you will bow to the friend that has been around since childhood, Helen. Mm-hmm. just because your husband is her fiance's boss doesn't mean anything, Helen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of have, in terms of topics, I do think this is an interesting movie in order to discuss how friendships do get affected by relationships, because mm-hmm. while that does like happen in a lot of rom-coms, it's obviously like exacerbated is like the focal point of this movie. Obviously money coming into play, like the financial aspect of everything, but like this is a real thing, man. Like there are so many times in my life I can think of, a lot of times when I was much younger, like, you know, I'm talking high school, college age, where your friend gets into a relationship and they just disappear. It is like mm-hmm. you can't get a hold of them anymore. They're completely sucked into what feels like a new world. I think it's interesting that these women are, I mean, maybe late 30s. I don't know exactly how old they're supposed to be, but that's probably where I would put it. They talk about Annie's 30th birthday at one point. So we know they're older, over mm-hmm. 30. In this case, it's as a result of getting engaged and having to plan this like lavish wedding. But I find it to be a much more younger person thing where
yeah.
you tend to lose your identity in a relationship more so, just maybe because you just don't have a fully formed personality yet, you know?
I feel like it's almost like something that everyone has to do, a bit of a rite of passage in the sense of everyone's going to make that mistake of, oh, I'm infatuated with this person, I'm going to spend all my time with them because like that's the key focus of my life, and then you neglect other aspects of your life, whether it be friendships, work, like school or whatever it is, and then whether that relationship comes to an end or whether it's you just have something that forces you to reconcile it, you kind of then come to realize, oh, balance is probably good for this, for my yeah. well-being. And it's just, it's strange that I guess that these two have just never gone through that in their life. Like they seem to be a really close set of friends. Like I understand that like Annie is working, well, they must be working part-time. Like I'm not sure if Lillian is working, but the fact that they spend the half their day exercising for free in the park, then go for yeah. a casual slow stroll home, and then get ready for work. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I don't know what Lillian does for work. We've seen Annie work at the jewelry store, seemingly part-time. It almost feels like because they're like best friends and childhood best friends, it seems like they never really got pulled apart as a result of being in a relationship. However, I feel like what pulls them apart more than anything else, besides even Helen, honestly, is like the financial stuff. And I'm very curious, Stuart. Obviously, we could say they're both to blame in different ways, that, you know, we could put some blame on Lillian for like having such high expectations of Annie when Annie is in a financial bind. We could put some blame on Annie for like making a lot of this about her when like this is supposed to be Lillian's time to shine and whatever. But who are you putting more of the blame on?
I mean, like, well, yeah, you're right. The rational and mature thing is to say that, like, let's apportion blame to the pair of them because they're both awful. But no, I'm siding with Annie. Like, Helen's just awful in this moment. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, I think it's a thing of punching down because, yeah, like, Annie is not that receptive. Could be so much better with the communications. But then I feel like she's the one that's in the crappier, like, endless state. She's losing her friend because she's pulling away a little bit. What with the relationship?
And I think she's physically moving.
Getting wrapped up in the wedding. Yeah, exactly. She is. And then she's also coming out, like, knowing that she's coming out of losing her business after the, like, during the recession. It's now kind of, like, recovering and everything like that. She's working a job that her mum managed to, like, set up for her as well. So she's, and her mum believes that she's hit rock bottom. Who knew there was lower floors below that? But, like, context is, like, a key thing here. And I think there's no way that Helen doesn't pick up on the vibes when, especially when Annie is not exactly subtle with her suggestions about how to do things on the cheap. So, like, I blame Helen completely. I'm like, I feel like it's, if you are a rich bitch, then it's your duty to, I think, be very aware of other people's situations in relation to you being the outlier in the whole thing. And if you're like setting up like expensive trips or whatever like that, then I guess, you know, consider other people's perspectives. So I'm like jumping in fully in the Helen hate on here, because
it, I mean, obviously it's hard to podcast it is hard to not hate Helen. Obviously I hate rich people, so like tough not to hate her. I do think Lillian is in a tough spot, because she is the connector piece, right? Like, she is friendly with Helen. Helen is a new friend. It's also a bit tricky because of like Doug's boss is her husband. So like, it's, you don't want to like necessarily piss her off too much. And on top of that, I mean, weddings are generally insanely expensive, literally anything to do with weddings, including bridesmaids' dresses, you know, bachelorette parties, bridal showers, engagement parties, right? There's a lot of parties and a lot of expenses. And a lot of times that falls onto the bridal party to pay for. And I think Lillian probably wasn't thinking too much about that when she asked Annie to be the maid of honor. I think she could have been better about like taking into account the fact that Annie is not making a lot of money right now. Like, she's already struggling a little bit. So if it was me, if I'm Lillian, I'm suggesting like, okay, in terms of dresses, let's go to like David's bridal or something. Like, let's not, you know, put it on the bridesmaids to pick the location, because that could cause issues. I will set the location of where we're going to buy our dresses so that it doesn't exceed a certain dollar amount. I feel like when left up to the rest of them, you know, the amount of money they're able and willing to spend can totally vary. So I wish Lillian was more involved in that, because without her being involved and being preoccupied with so much else, that's what leads to Helen and Annie kind of, you know, battling and fighting for territory and fighting for Annie wanting to do things more cheaply, you know, Helen wanting to do things more lavishly, to basically shower, to pun intended, shower Lillian with like gifts and adoration and expensive things. So it's really tricky. Obviously, we want to side with Annie. I do think there are times when I'm like, girl, you gotta just like suck it up, and not in terms of the money stuff, because not much you can do about that. But there are times when she just is, she's being so combative with Helen that it's like, you have to stop. This isn't about you at this moment. Like, this is about Lillian. And like, if Lillian likes Helen, you've got to just suck it up. You know, you've got to just let things lie. And if Helen wants to pay for things, fucking let her, man.
Yeah, exactly. Let her pay. Yeah, there's an extent I think that like Annie certainly doesn't ever give Helen a chance at all. And I think what you should, like, what you should do is go, well, Lillian really likes Helen. And I think that maybe Annie is just dismissive because I think she immediately puts the money thing down to, oh, she likes money, or she likes the things that come with Helen. She doesn't necessarily like Helen. And so, like, because of that, she doesn't really ever give her the time of day. But I think that if she'd realized that, okay, maybe Lillian does actually like this person, maybe I should trust the judgment of my best friend since like childhood. Like, why wouldn't you kind of give her that? So Annie really doesn't help us out. But as we've seen with her choices in this film, she does not make the best choices.
No, she seems like she's a little bit on a self-sabotage journey for the majority of the movie. The other thing is, too, I want to talk a little bit more about the wider bridal party. I think she could have, listen, if she really wanted to go against Helen, I think the move is actually to get the rest of the bridesmaids on your side, right? So that if you're ever voting for something, you've got those votes in your back pocket. You've got Rita, played by Wendy McLendon Covey. Gosh, the name. Becca, played by Ellie Kemper. And then, of course, Megan, played by Melissa McCarthy. And I think like you just need to get them on your side. And here's the thing. Megan seems already totally on Annie's side. Megan is very astute and shrewd, and I think she knows what Helen is up to from the very first minute. And let's face it, of all of the bridal party, I feel like beyond Lillian and Annie, I feel like Megan is the one that fits in best with those two as a pairing, in that she is just like, she will say anything. Like, she will do anything. She is just crazy enough, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like she fits in well. I just wish they would, like Megan says, like, I'm here. I'm your friend. You could have called me and you didn't, you know?
Yeah. It's a shame that she doesn't make that connection or doesn't build like the inroads with them all like that, because it would have made so much more sense, especially like to get them on her side. But that she did try it. She just tried it a little too late. Like, she was too quick. Exactly. Yeah. She jumped the gun on the Vegas trip. Like, she got in there well before. And
I mean, when you've got a woman who wants to. Yeah, you have a woman in Rita who's like, I live with all boys. I need to leave, please. Like, I hate my husband. We have sex all the time, but we haven't kissed in years. Like, what? She's like, well, what do you think about when you have sex? Anything else?
Anything. That dynamic is nuts. Like,
it's so fun.
I've known people to be in that, like, kind of just they hate the relationship they're in. There's a really funny show over here called Gavin and Stacey that depict this kind of relationship perfectly, with the characters called Pete and Dawn, who they absolutely despise each other, but then nothing ever changes. Like, they're always together, kind of thing. And I kind of get this vibe from this as well, but they have the addition of the kids, who just seem to be the worst. Just talking to her. So I can understand her wanting to just have a trip away, because this is the thing, she's using it as the excuse not to really celebrate Lillian's wedding. She's just using it to get away from her awful family. So that was perhaps a losing trip anyway. But like, I think you could have sold it like to the others quite well. I think like Annie Kemper's character Becca, what with her kind of like sweet nature, you could just appeal to, well, this is her childhood thing, this is all about her and we're celebrating her. I think she was probably the easiest to win on the holiday, the vacation trip. And then Megan just be like, it's the wilderness, you can hunt for us, you can do whatever you want, you're survivaling for us.
Yeah, I think all else fails, you could bully Becca very easily. Like, not that I'm advocating for that, but I do think you could pressure her and manipulate her so easily. Like, so extremely easily. Megan, I think, is, like, the easiest one to get on your side in terms of, like, I think she automatically is more likely to listen to Annie. So I wish she would have explored that route more, because the female cast in this freaking movie is just so stellar. Each character is so just ridiculous, like absolutely ridiculous. Like, how did they, like, the fact that just all these women are coming together to be in one bridal party is just like such a comedy of errors. Like, Megan, honestly, Melissa McCarthy is such a standout for me in this movie. The amount of times that I've watched the gif of her when they're at the bridal shop, face planting over the back of the couch. I love it so much. When she took nine puppies in berets, I love her. Her cracking up at putting a gun in her brother's luggage. Oh my God. I can't handle it. I just think she's so funny. She is so over the top.
Such a great... So this is strange. So I had never Gilmore Girls before this. I'd never Mike and Molly. Like, this was my first exposure to Melissa McCarthy, really. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who the hell is this? She's freaking hilarious. And then come to realize, she actually can play a very sweet and lovable character as well, in the form of like from Gilmore Girls. I was like, what the hell? This is not the person that you imagine, that who is just such a, I think, a great physical like actress. Like, when she's, I'm not going to dwell on it too much, but when she's sat on the sink and it's that top down shot and her legs just pop out.
Yeah.
The funniest. Just
the leg up on the wall, like with the like, oh, my undercarriage or whatever the hell she says.
It gets harder.
It's so, and the best part is, like, I remember reading that this was, I think, weeks after Melissa McCarthy had just given birth. Like, she
what?
I'm not kidding. And, like, she's like, they put me in, like, Dockers. And she says that she kind of based the look of Megan on Guy Fieri.
Yeah, I can see that.
The shirt, so funny.
Yeah, oh my god. Just the whole, when there's just certain reactions, like Melissa McCarthy does angry so well in a funny way. Like when she's like interrogating the air marshal, who is her husband in real life as well, which is again another great thing, because I can just imagine filming that. It's just, again, like you mentioned earlier, it's like the improv of just, I think they're constantly trying to just make each other like corpse and like crack up and things. You can kind of, he doesn't truly lose it at any point, but you can kind of just see that kind of, I'm just trying to hold on her for dear life. And you just know that every take must have been different because she's just so hilarious. And when he then gets up, it's like, I'm an air marshal. She's like, I fucking knew it. I got your back.
Okay. So good. It's so ridiculous. The conversation about the nukes. I know where the nukes are. A lot of schools. Don't tell anyone. I never said that.
I can't protect you.
I'm going to climb that man like a tree. Just like every line she says is so, so funny. She is definitely a standout for me in that, like, Megan is, like, again, just the most ridiculous character. And just, I think it's very sweet how she's the only one who approaches Annie when Annie is like really, really struggling. Which, I mean, tracks, like, Lillian's planning a freaking wedding. And like, yes, you can plan a wedding and not have it be all consuming. The problem is the type of wedding Lillian is having is all consuming. And probably because Helen is planning it, it seems like. But yeah, the girl gang moments in this movie are just incredible. Just so magnificent.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
I think the fact is that you've got like a character like Megan, who ordinarily in these kind of films would be very one-dimensional, but she's not. She's got like other facets to her, and she's like considered to be a complex human being. Who'd have thought? Shockingly, written by women. Who would have thought that would have been the case, right? It's outrageous. But I like the fact that it isn't just this like one-dimensional comedy character. It does make sense. And it just adds to this feeling of, okay, these are real people, and this, as absurd as it is kind of just more believable, which endears you more to them. It's a great way of like building an affection for this entire group of, really, if I were to meet these people, I'd hate a lot of them. Like Megan, I would just, I couldn't deal with her in real life. But watching it on the film, I'm just like, utterly, utterly hilarious.
She's incredible.
Just Melissa McCarthy is just, knocked it out of the park. Have you ever seen the bloopers from This Is 40? With her, Paul Rudd, and I can never remember her name. But yeah, she's just basically on a rant against this woman called Jill. Like they're pulled into, I think it's like a principal's office to talk about like some kids or something like that.
Yes, and I have seen, like, I've seen like a TikTok of these or something.
I will kick you in your leg bone. Everyone hates you, you're fucking Bob. Like it's so good. And you've got Paul Rudd just creasing up in the background, and they just keep rolling with it. It's why a load of these films are just done like that, in that they set up the scene and they go, right, here's a script, loosely follow it and kind of like see how it goes. But I love to see how the sausage is made with those films because they're so much better than bloopers. I mean, I guess it is a blooper because they are messing it up, but just seeing how it changes from what you do actually see is fascinating to me.
Yeah, no, you're right, because of the nature of the fact that so many of these people are just like incredible improvers. Like you want to see the scenes that they didn't choose. Like, I know specifically the jewelry store scene is actually like incredibly long and they cut so much of it. But they're like the amount of back and forth that was cut just must have been glorious.
But I think as well the cut away from that, like when Annie delivers the final line of a word I'm surely not allowed to say on this podcast, and then just her getting like
immediately fired,
was just so brilliant. And it's like, don't tell my mom, let me tell my mom. And he's like, I already told her.
And he's like, what? Really? The note, the bit of her mom also going to AA when she's not an alcoholic and then just never ever recognizing the sanctity of the anonymous in Alcoholics Anonymous is so good.
She recognizes the guy at the end and goes, hey, I see you in AA. It's like,
stop it. So good. It's so God. It's so funny. Okay, I guess we should probably talk about the romance.
I guess
between Annie and Rhodes, who's a cop, an Irish cop. Apparently he was supposed to have an American accent, but everyone loved his Irish accent so much they're like, you gotta keep it.
Do with the fact that he couldn't do an American accent.
probably couldn't do one. What do you think of Rhodes as a romantic lead?
It's odd. He's a cop, and yet I like him because he's a good cop. He doesn't want to ruin people's day. He'll let people speed just a little bit because he doesn't want to ruin their work day.
Yeah.
It seems all right in that respect, which when I'm not on my high horse about people speeding. It's difficult not to like him. He's kind of, he builds Annie up and doesn't necessarily kind of want to tell her what to do. Just kind of, I think, gently and at one point heavily encourages her to get back into baking and like lets her fall around with the speedometer thing of like, and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, he's a good guy, I think. I'm hoping say otherwise.
I mostly like him. I do think there are a few moments when they've only been on like one date, they sleep together, she wakes up and he's like staring at her as she wakes up and he's like,
yeah,
I got all this baking stuff, come on, go bake. Like, whoa, my guy. Like, he is going so fast that I don't really blame her for being a little bit put off by it. And also, like, I think he kind of ignores her signals about the baking, about like the way she feels about it and how she's, I feel like he could have had more of a conversation with her, and it was a little bit more presumptuous of him to go and get all of the baking supplies. And then when, I don't know, I think he really, it's shades, like teeny tiny shades of like, I'm a nice guy, you treated me poorly, like, how dare you? When he's like, you don't know how you can hurt people, like, you made me think you liked me. And it's like, okay, my guy, like, you know, just because she's not as into you as you are into her, like, there are teeny tiny shades of that. I think he's like a little too offended and like a little too upset. And I thought the carrot cake was like a perfectly acceptable apology because, first of all, it was gorgeous. Second of all, she freaking baked it. Like, she did the thing that was like what you had wanted her to do. And she did the cute thing. She like left it in the pink box outside your house and you let fucking raccoons eat it. Like, that's rude. That's not nice. Like, so there are times when I did get annoyed with him. Obviously, he's a cop, so I was predispositioned to not like him. But I do think, like, yeah, he's not the worst cop we've ever seen. I love the scene of her trying to get his attention by doing like reckless driving driving and hitting his car with her car.
Things to really tip him over the edge, that teeny tiny little bump where he clearly would have seen her in the, like, the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's coming and stuff. Surely the spin out, the burn out. And,
I wonder
like,
if it's because he could damage, if she damages his car, like, that's, what's he going to do? That's work, you know? Yeah, ultimately, I like their relationship. And I actually really like that he shows up after the wedding, that he doesn't end up being like a guest at the wedding. I think it's just more fun that he shows up after. And also, can I just say, like, him in those jeans, though. Like, I don't know what it was. It's the outfit for me, though. I think it was because he wasn't in a uniform. I'm the opposite. You know how there are girlies who are like, I love a man in uniform. I'm the opposite of whatever that is. Like, don't wear a uniform. Anything but a uniform. Yeah, I love the outfit at the end. And I love him when he puts her in the back of the cop car and he's like, oops, sorry, habit. When he like pushes her head down.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. Yeah, I guess I didn't. I think because I was kind of like wrapped up into the whole tropiness of expecting him to have the reaction that he had, that it never really twigged with me that like he was doing the whole, oh, nice guy shtick, which he absolutely is now that you said it. I'm like, I totally. That's kind of really, I think, changed my opinion on it a little bit, because it's not too dramatic, but there is that sense of expectation, isn't there? Of just, yeah.
And again, they have good chemistry and they get along well, but it feels unfair to then expect all and put all of these things onto Annie when like, you all never decided like, oh, we're exclusive and we're dating and like you slept together one time. Like, it just feels unfair to have all these expectations of her.
Yeah, it was clearly like a fling sleeping together thing. Like, it wasn't a, oh, this is finally like the breaking point of us. And yeah, exactly. It wasn't.
Yeah,
that.
To put it in like rom-com terms, like they were fucking, not making love. Like, you know, like come on.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. And like, I think as well, like the expectation, it's. You wouldn't expect that for the romance side of things. So why would you expect it with a passion that she clearly has some trauma about as well, that she doesn't want to get into? I think if it was framed ever so slightly differently, maybe he could have got away with it. Maybe if it was less, I want you to bake, and it's just more, hey, I got this stuff and I let you stay here and jokingly kind of guilt trip into make the cream puffs, please. I really want the cream puffs. That was his actual intention. Maybe he just wanted the cream puffs.
He definitely, again, like maybe that's just the character, right? Like he's pushing because he thinks she needs a push, right? Like Megan does later on, that she is someone who just needs to be pushed into like getting over what she's going through, digging herself out of this hole that she's been put in. But it feels a little unearned when you barely know her. Like if it's a lifelong friend, someone you've known for a few years even, who's pushing you to do those things, it just feels like, okay, you've earned the right to give me a little bit of tough love, versus someone you've literally just met who doesn't necessarily understand the pit of despair that you're in. Like she is going through it, and not just in one aspect of her life, but like most aspects of her life. Like she is really spiraling. Now I will say Rhodes is leaps and bounds better than Ted, played by Don Draper himself, John Hamm.
Oh my god,
that man is the worst.
the wonderful skill of acting, I will just say, how you can make John Hamm, who ordinarily is a very good looking lad, who most people would swoon over, and yet when he asks if anyone else can do this just as good as him, and he grabs her boob and then makes that face.
He squishes it.
We say about the speeches being the cringe thing. I think that was nearly enough. Like, had I not said to myself, I need to watch this, I think that would have been another pause and walk away from the
It's
TV
interesting
moment.
To have that as the first, like, the first scene is between the two of them is so interesting because, like, it's so, first of all, the sex is, like, so awkward and weird and, like, obvious.
Like,
her legs are just flying around, and then him like giggling, like, and the like, oh, this is so awkward, like, I want you to leave but I don't know how to ask you to, like, oh, it's so uncomfortable. He's so good at it. It's so funny. I love what felt very real was the get together between Annie and Lillian at like breakfast after the fact, and them kind of breaking down how like, she's like, oh, you slept with him, didn't you? Like, you slept over. And she's like, yeah. She's like, he kept putting it near my face.
Like, they do that, don't they?
And somebody's like the eye, like it was looking at me. It's like, that felt very real. That felt very, very real. Yeah.
I was going to say, it did feel as like a male viewer. It's like, oh, I feel like a curtain has been peeled back and I'm going into like a conversation yeah. style that I should not be privy to. This is girl talk. This is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he's very funny. But so yeah, Rhodes is like so much better than Ted, obviously. That is a very low bar to clear. But I do think Rhodes
she
is
calls
like,
him. She calls him. Yeah. That's it's so
girl, call an Uber.
Exactly.
I don't care how much debt you have to get into. She has like, none.
Like, even if she's got none, her mum is still available. Like Lillian,
Megan. Like there's a lot of people you could call. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's bad.
Just sad.
But things work out. They do get together in the end. And it is really cute. Again, like the pickup at the wedding, I think is really just adorable. I like them as a couple for the most part. Again, that's not really the focal point of the film. But I do think they make a cute couple and they have like a cute back and forth. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm pro Rhodes. There are things I'm not too keen on, but anything else before
being the first?
Yeah, it's not my fault. Like he's a cop. He's a cop.
Is he a proper cop? Like he's a I've never understood this. He's a state trooper. Is that just cop by a different name?
Yeah. There's different types of cops. So there's like, you know, like your sheriff, sort of a like towny sort of a cop. State troopers are the real dickheads, in my opinion. They're generally the ones, like, if you are driving on, like, a highway, like, you don't want to get pulled over by a state trooper. Because they're generally not going to let you go. Like, they're not going to give you a warning and let you go away. The state troopers are the ones that I never want to get pulled over by. Each town then also would have, like, its own set of cops. And depending on where you live, could be better or worse. Specifically where I live, the cops are known to be, like, complete dickheads. Because... Oh. I live in suburbia and nothing ever happens here. So they have nothing better to do than pull you over for very minor infractions. So yeah, it depends on where you live. But a state trooper is more so like, okay, you're on a major highway. And so they can pull you over anywhere in the state versus you don't have jurisdiction. Like once that cop leaves a specific like county or town, they couldn't pull someone over theoretically because they don't have jurisdiction. It's dumb, Stuart. I don't
complex and dumb. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should, I don't know, defund the police. Anyway, I can't. Don't get me started. Okay. You got me started. There are just so many situations in which we should be sending social workers, not cops. But anyway, you know, just saying, ACAB. But overall, I do tend to like Rhodes. I think he's like a nice enough guy. It just confused me though. I'm like, he's very Irish. Like, how did he become a cop? I guess he's a citizen. He says he's a citizen.
He's Irish and a cop, and he doesn't live in Boston. What the hell is going on?
What's happening? Yeah, he lives in like, fucking Milwaukee. What is going on? The only film I know that takes place in Milwaukee. Yeah. What was? Oh, do you subscribe to the ugly carrot theory? Have you heard this?
I'd never heard of it until this film. And I'm very much a nanny in the situation. I'm very
The ugly part off if I get the ugly carrot, because it's
try and reduce the amount of waste like altogether. Like if it's just, you know, got a bit of like, I know it's been in the back of the fridge and it's got like a bit frosty or whatever, like that, just like scrape that shit off. But that one looked petrified. It was white.
You don't eat the ugly carrot.
cracked. Like, don't eat that carrot. That's a really fucking ugly carrot.
It's an ugly carrot. Yeah, I like the ugly carrot theory that they're lucky, but I don't know that I would eat it. And give the luck to someone else.
Great, I found it. I feel like that's luck enough. Eating it and not dying, well, maybe that would show that you're luckier. I don't want to test the theory, though. Thank you very much.
I do like the theories in these these sorts of things, like How I Met Your Mother has the olive theory. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I can't remember what that is. I know of it, but
the olive theory is the theory that your perfect partner feels the opposite way that you do about olives. So one of you likes them, one of you doesn't, so that there's always someone to eat the olives, right? You want a person that will like something you don't like so that they can eat. But I don't subscribe to this theory. I actually think it's much better if the person that you are with likes the same things you like.
Then you get then to you can buy it, and
yeah, that's the thing.
The illusion of I'm buying it for them, but actually, right, I'm getting it for
myself. Toppings on pizza specifically, right? You kind of want to like the same things generally. Obviously, for me, the biggest thing in my relationship is spice tolerance levels are very different between me and my husband. He can handle a lot of heat. I am big baby and cannot. But that's easily fixed.
White girl.
I blame my parents, because I do think there is a level of if you're introduced to it young enough and you're given enough adventurous different types of foods when you were a child, you will naturally build up the resilience. And I didn't. I never did. And so now I struggle. I try. I do try. There's just, I can't, I don't know.
What is your spice tolerance? What's too much?
So,
is a jalapeno bad for you?
Are we talking a raw jalapeno?
Well, yeah.
No, pickled? I would not eat a raw jalapeno. No, I could eat a pickled jalapeno, but I would not really enjoy it. Let's see this. If I'm ordering buffalo wings, right? If you're ordering a wing here in the States, you usually will order mild, medium, hot. Sometimes there's a higher level beyond hot, but mild, medium, hot. I will order a medium, dunk it in ranch so I can handle medium spice, but I do need my ranch on the side. I could eat a mild wing with no dipping, but medium I will need to dip.
Wow. That's, Jess, you're a bit of a wuss.
I know. I can't handle spice. I try. I will. I could eat a jalapeno popper.
Yeah, but that's 90% cheese, right?
Yeah. I could eat a jalapeno. I've put jalapenos in recipes, but deseeded, no seeds.
Oh my
that's
God.
The spice.
We used to make, in the UK, there's a known phenomenon, which is the toasty maker. So it's think of it a waffle iron, but instead of waffles, it's just a little triangle pocket that you make sandwiches in. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Kind of like a panini press, but
what it does is a grilled cheese in, sort of a thing.
Yeah, grilled cheese maker, yeah. But it presses in the the edges and then diagonal, so you get almost
an uncrustable.
Sure.
Uncrustables? The way you just reacted makes me think no.
Yeah, I don't think we do. but it's a known phenomenon that these things live in the back of the bottom cupboard or top cupboard of people's kitchens, and they just gather dust until one day you go, I could really use a toasty. And then you drag it out. It's still greasy from the last time you didn't properly clean it, and it's disgusting. So you get it clean and stuff, and then you live off the toasties for the next 2 weeks. You eat so many of them that you get fat and miserable, and you hate the idea of a toasty ever again, and it goes back in the cupboard, and then you don't think about it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then 2 years pass and you go, I could really use a toasty. Yeah, exactly. We went through one of those phases while I was at university, and we went through a phase of also shoving in jalapenos in our toasties.
Oh,
I think it's the greatest invention that we've ever come up with, because it's the melty cheese and the jalapeno and the spice, but just the tang of the pickled juice with that they come pickled in. Oh, right. So good.
So it's a grilled cheese with jalapenos.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a to say we had a grilled cheese and jalapenos.
I did. The other night I made tuna melts And I put pickled jalapenos on Will's, and I put pickles on mine. Because pickles are delicious. I love pickles.
Pickles, yeah. That crunch.
Oh! Anyway, Vlasic. Yeah. Vlasic is the one.
Not to, like, yeah. drift away from food too quickly either. You mentioned about pizza toppings. I have to ask this, as I don't think I've ever found out this about you. Pineapple on pizza, Jess. What is your stance?
Here's the interesting thing.
So you're ambivalent.
No, I'm not. If you were to offer me a fruit platter and it had pineapple on it, I would not eat the pineapple. I don't like pineapple as a fruit. I have had pineapple on pizza one time as a part of like a podcast. Actually, I did. I had a Hawaiian pizza. So ham and pineapple and whatever even else is on that. Maybe that's it. And I thought it was okay. I thought it was fine. I don't really like tropical fruit. So I don't like pineapple. So I wouldn't order it just because I don't like pineapple. Which I know is weird. Most people love pineapple, but it's gross. I don't like it.
For long-time listeners to these podcasts, you'll know the bit. My role is available. I now quit and am replaceable. This is outrageous. I hate pineapple on pizza. I think it's abhorrent and should never be done.
Yeah. Is it because it's like wet? Like, what's the, like, what?
It's wet. It's sweet. Sweet.
Yeah.
Like, no, does
I'm
not
belong.
Trying
to think
belong.
Of what other sweet also, thing you'd ever put on a pizza.
Like, okay, I can understand hot honey. Hot honey making like pizza sweet, but what's usually
hot
good about
too
that
hot.
Is it's counterbalanced with a bit of like spice or whatever, which makes the sweetness, I think, justified.
Yeah,
with a fair. Hawaiian pizza, it's just bland ham, so it's like salt, and like you get the salt and sweet, but it's just not enough.
Yeah,
like you're.
It's just strange
because like
I can't
cheese.
Think of anything else that's sweet that you would put on a pizza. Is the problem, you know, like. Pineapple really is an enigma in that way. Like, there's no, it's on its own. It's on an island. That it's the only sweet thing I could think of that anybody puts on.
Hawaii. It's on an island.
It's on an island that is named Hawaii. What is your pizza order? If you are like home, it's just you, and you're going to place a pizza order, what toppings are you going for?
If I'm going basic, just pepperoni. Just load it up.
Okay.
Give me a little cups of like just the little accumulation of just yes, a little smidge of oil. Not so much that I like swimming, but just enough.
Just
that you're
a
like,
little bit. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Perfection. If I'm feeling a bit bougie, I'll go for like, I don't know, just an array of different like veggies and stuff with like hot
like a deluxe, like just, a supreme. Yeah.
Primo, yeah.
I don't know always, what you call them over there, but yeah.
Yeah. Always got to be like thin crust though. Like I'm not a thick pizza lover.
Okay, interesting.
What about you?
Honestly, I love a white broccoli pizza with the ricotta, with the broccoli. Like usually garlic. I love a white broccoli pizza. But I'm a big fan of like a deluxe, so a little bit of everything, a little bit of veg, a little bit of meat, olive. I love olive on a pizza. I know some people I don't want a green olive on my pizza though. Like don't put a green olive on my pizza. That's weird. They're really not supposed
to. Green olives are the best olives.
I like a green olive, but I don't want it on my pizza. Like, I will eat a green olive. I always have them on my charcuterie board. Always. But I don't want them on pizza. Yeah, charcuterie. Oh, my God. Prosciutto on a pizza? Ugh! Prosciutto on anything. Yeah. Just prosciutto.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, that's enough about pizza hour. Deviated. I don't even know. I don't know where we even got here. How we got here, don't know.
How do we feel about big cookies bringing it back to bridesmaids?
Here's the thing. How do you, it's like, it's on an easel. Like, how do you even cut into that? You know,
yeah,
and how does it
like,
fill and empty the chocolate fountain? That chocolate fountain was like insane.
I disagree with the concept of chocolate fountains totally, because it's just
sanitary.
Recycled chocolate. And like, you know that some toddler's gone in there and I'm like, no, thank you. I do not want. And also to make it like thinner and stuff, oftentimes it's like, it's a cut as if it's like drugs, but it's cut with like oil. And so it's just this greasy like chocolate and stuff that's filled with kid saliva and whatever other like stuff. No, thank you. Don't want it. Yeah,
it's kind of like fondue is a little strange to me sometimes when I think too much about it, you know? But that's usually it's
fondue
like,
is fantastic.
It's weird when you think about it.
It's a singular vessel of just molten cheese.
As long as it's like just you and like one other person, though.
Yeah.
Because like double dippers and triple, I know those people are out there. Like they're double, triple dipping.
Yeah. Double dipping is just abhorrent.
You can't do it unless, like, I could double dip if I'm sharing with my husband because, like, he's been near my mouth. Like, it's fine.
They do that.
They do that sometimes. But like, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, we've kissed. Mm-hmm. It's cool, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just the once on our wedding day, and that was it. Okay.
That was it. Yeah.
Time. Okay, let's get to this podcast. It's just as crazy as the movie.
I told you. At the very beginning, I was like, we have to set the tone.
We definitely did. Let's talk about You Had Me At, which is our most romantic moment or best grand gesture of the film. And there aren't a ton. No. I was trying to think about this before. And like the cake, the I'm sorry carrot cake feels like a romantic moment / grand gesture. I guess we could put the like... I bought all this baking supplies for you to bake with, but like it's a little pushy for me to want to cosplay romantic. Showing up at the wedding after, like what? Honestly, Helen buying the trip for Lillian to go to Paris is the most romantic.
I mean, it's certainly the grandest gesture.
Yeah,
I mean, no, I kind of feel like I might give myself a bit of a pass on it and say that I'm going to go with one that I don't think is necessarily a grand gesture for the romantic side. I think more just the friendship side, in the dedication to try and get Rhoda's attention in the car and just the back and forth. I think that was like a big gesture. She could have got herself in a fair bit of trouble.
Yeah.
It was hilarious in how she did it. So I'm going to say like that whole back and forth. Hey, I'm topless.
So funny.
Who's driving this car? And they're both like laying back.
Honestly, the biggest grand gesture is like it's not really a grand gesture though. Annie giving, I loved the little sentimental memory box thing that she gave Lillian. I thought that was like so sweet and better than a stupid trip to Paris, Helen.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with the carrot cake. I thought the carrot cake was like both adorable, fit into what she was trying to do, and looked, I love a carrot cake. Okay.
Carrot cake is a good cake.
It's a top tier cake. Like cream cheese frosting. Are you kidding me? It has like all the good bits. It's very fall, which is like the best season. Come on.
We ignore the other things that go into it to make it absolutely delicious. And we focus on the fact that there's carrot in it.
I love carrot.
Therefore, it's one of your five a day.
There you go. Ugly carrots. I think that's the, I mean, again, this is not a huge, there's not a ton of those sorts of grand gestures. It's not that type of a movie. But I think that's the one I'll choose. All right. Next up is of course the meet cute or meet creep meter, baby. So we got to decide what tier, this will fall in. We have soulmate status, green flags galore. We can fix them. ... Maybe. I'm getting the ick and red flag city. Why are you laughing? What did I do?
I'm laughing because I've just seen The Holiday and been reminded about it. I went away on a trip and me and my friends got talking about it. My friend had watched it again recently and they, having not listened to this podcast, were like, yeah, and he just randomly kisses her eye, and I creased up laughing. I was like, yeah!
It's so weird. I haven't stopped thinking about how freaking weird it is.
So good.
Also, can I tell you, I watched half of, just because it reminds me, because British and Christmas, I guess. I watched half of Love Actually while I was wrapping Christmas presents, and I love that movie so much. It's awful. It's so bad in some parts, but it's just so good.
Yeah. Love Actually is such a strange film in the sense that it is so objectively awful at times.
Like, almost every romance you're rooting against.
Like, exactly. They're, like, if we were putting it on here, Red Flag City, 100%.
For pretty much every... I mean, if they're not like, okay, this is your boss, this is your boss again. Like, you're cheating on your wife. There's so many bad things.
Oh my god.
It's such a good movie.
Unless it's Colin Frizzle getting an American, like,
he's got a massive dong or whatever he says. Have you seen the TikToks of there's a family that like watches Love Actually every year, and they dress up as like random things from the movie or like random background characters.
No.
So there's like every year they'll do it. And like one of them wore a giant inflatable penis, and they said they were Collins, like Wang or whatever.
And there was a massive dong.
It's massive dong. That's it. There is a couple that's rootable, actually. There is a couple. It's the porno couple. I root for them every time. You don't remember the porno couple?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there is a red flag there. But
no, there isn't. Couple. When they kiss on the stoop and then he like jumps off and he celebrates, it's like so sweet. But anyway, they dress up, and there was I'm the second lobster. There were two lobsters present at the birth of Jesus. So good. Back to Bridesmaids yet again.
So this one is rough, because I was thinking, because there are red flags, so
a couple, yeah,
it has to be acknowledged, but it's not terrible, like it's nothing degree of Love Actually, certainly, if we're gonna use that as a test.
It feels a bit like, I don't know that we could call them soulmates, even regardless of the issues, they're not together enough for us to really judge, like, okay, they're soulmates, they can make it work. I feel like him being a cop automatically like knocks him down a tier, no matter what tier we start in. Can you imagine if we had cops that listen to this? I really don't think we do. But I don't think
that's our demo. I really don't.
Can you imagine? The best part is that I just have so many family members that are cops. If you count correctional officers, which I do, if you count them as cops, do you call them correctional officers over there? Do you know?
Do you mean like people that work in prisons?
Prison guards, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
We don't call them correctional officers, but we have them. We don't
call them what they are. They're cops working in a jail, you know? Caps. I feel like my inclination is like a we can fix them, maybe bordering on green flags galore, but I feel like they're not together long enough or for enough of the film to put them in green flags galore.
That's what I'm thinking, because it's like, I think that there's certainly things that we can fix. We can just say to Chris and Al, tone it down a little bit, like, Rhodes, stop being
quit your job.
Yeah, stop being creepy, quit your job kind of thing. But then, are these two really gonna be a good match for each other long term?
Is he
just a rational voice that she needs to hear?
They did have good chemistry. Like, they definitely had good chemistry. They seem like they had fun. Well. Yeah, they have good flirt, good banter, good chat, as they say. They said good chat. I think I would put them above the couple from Say Anything because of how young the couple in Say Anything is. Like, it's just like, okay, like, you're gonna bring it.
I'm even tempted to like retroactively downgrade Say Anything.
I'm getting the egg.
Because
it would make our
kissing the eye, because like the kissing in the back of the car.
It's our podcast, let's do it. It also just makes our tears so even, and it's so pleasing.
I like it and so it shows pleasing. Science through the decades, it goes science, up and it goes down,
baby. Yeah. I love it. I think this is perfect. I think this is exactly where it should be. Listen, we could change whatever, we could do whatever we want to. This is our
outrageous podcast, this is outrageous, Jess. Who gave us permission?
<It's> nobody terrible. But we guess what, we do it anyway. Okay, let's do our best in showmance, where we give the film a rating from zero. Well, really 1 to 10, because I don't really have a spot for a zero. If you ever did give a zero, I'd have to redo my whole graph and everything.
I'll bear that in mind.
Yeah, bear that in mind.
We've been very brutal and really have been rating these films so badly.
So, to recap so far, for Say Anything, you gave it a 6.5. I gave it a 7. 10 Things I Hate About You, you gave it a 9. I gave it a 9.5. And our biggest disagreement thus far was The Holiday, which you had at a 7. And I gave a whopping 9 points to, because I liked it. That's it. That's the only reason I like.
So, before we get into where Bridesmaids goes, since we it's our podcast, we could do what we like.
Oh,
I'm going to invoke what we talked about pre-pod, which is I would like to take Say Anything down to a 5.5, and I would like to put The Holiday down to a 6.
Okay.
I was so generous with those, and I totally shouldn't have been.
Okay, so we got Say Anything at a 5.5 and The Holiday at a 6. Is that what you wanted?
Yes.
Okay, I'm making it happen live on the podcast right now.
She's an editing pro if she can select the right bar.
Leave me alone! No one saw that, okay? No one saw it. Okay.
This is why you tune into YouTube, people. You get to enjoy me shaming Jess.
It's not easy to do on the fly. Now there's an even bigger gap. Whooshkies. Okay.
But when it comes to Bridesmaids, again, I'm like, what are we actually ranking here? Like, are we talking about just overall how good this film is? Or overall are we ranking it in the context of it being a rom-com? Because I'm like, great com. Like, if it was a com, I would actually put this up as like a high 8, maybe a 9. But romance, not that great. So I kind of feel like I have to break it down a smidge.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I don't know. Middling 8, I think I'm going to go with.
Is that an 8.5 or an 8? Because I don't know what middling 8 is.
I don't. Is that being too generous? Am I going to whinge about it next time?
Whinge means wine for the Americans that don't know British.
It does.
Yeah.
Whinge. Have a whinge. Yeah, I'm going to go 8. Solid 8. Yes.
Solid 8. Okay. That's where we're at. That's where Stuart's at least for Bridesmaids. I agree with you. Like, I definitely think it's more calm than rom. I do think the calm is just so.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes me laugh so hard. And I love the, like, female friendship exploration in this movie. I think that's missing in a lot of rom-coms. So I don't think I'm going to penalize it that much. I'm going to give it an 8.5. I really like this movie. There are some, like, cringy moments that I think, like, are difficult to watch. But I overall really do love this movie. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna give it. I will adjust the color. Pay no attention that this is blue. I'm gonna get an 8.5.
Yeah, I think it's like I feel like you can't really score badly this film because of like it's almost like its impact as well. Like the I'm poor gif is so often used. Like there's just so many great quotes.
What are you an appliance? Like, so good.
Okay, stove. Like this, just some belter lines. And yeah, like rom or com, like it's still just a great film. A little long.
It's a little long. It's surprisingly a little long.
Two hour mark. I mean, you could cut out her mom. I'm just saying. What did she?
Why are you trying to cut things from movies constantly? Her mom is hysterical. You want to cut out the woman who can't understand that anonymous means anonymous? No, she's so funny.
Okay, I'll do your compromise. Keep the mom. Drop who we haven't talked about in this entire film: Rebel Wilson and Matt Lucas.
Yeah, we could.
Weird roommates. What is the point of them?
We could have found them.
Like them funny at first, but after a while you realize they're actually just playing themselves.
It's less funny over. I used to love their moments, and I think as an adult they don't hit me. They're not as funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's. I agree with that. I would get rid of them. I would leave in the mom because again.
And I think that would just bring it under 2 hours. In which case, perfect.
Yeah. I think so. Wonderful. I think, yeah, I don't see why not. Perfect. Well, that's great. We have that done. We have some feedback. We did get some feedback. Emily, I thought Emily's feedback was very interesting, Stuart. Emily says, I saw this movie once when it came out. I don't remember much. Some thoughts halfway through. The lack of background music in this movie is really strange. And when there is music, it doesn't last more than 30 seconds. She's like, I wonder if like it's the improv aspect of it that they like they didn't use a lot of music, you know?
I didn't. Maybe they blew all the budget on the cameo at the end.
Could have been. That's could like, have been.
Technically music budget. Maybe.
Yeah, freaking Wilson Phillips. Kristen Wiig's character is not particularly rootable. She makes some obvious mistakes as maid of honor, going to a bridal shop without a reservation and being shocked at the price point. Yeah, she went to like a very expensive bridal shop too, which is like, why would you do that to yourself? I had to fast forward through the food poisoning parts and not enough Wendy McLendon Covey, who plays Rita in the movie. Those were her notes.
There's enough Wendy McLendon Covey in her name alone. The fact that I keep having to, every time we say it, look at the name and go, yes, it is that. Yes.
It's a lot. It's a mouthful. Yeah.
She was actually, every time that she was in the scene, she was hilarious. Like, she's really the good. Way in which she kind of commanded it and the whole
shit. Her and Becca are really fun together. I love them on the plane.
Honestly, those two are the little, like, spin-off would be actually quite a funny film. Or even
I want them to get together.
A little skit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They should have gotten together. I love the, like, we can't have sex until we've both showered separately. And then by the time he doesn't even want to, but I want to.
I have to pretend I'm tired as well.
It's so good.
So tragic.
It is really tragic. So yeah. That was the feedback we got. And I think, Stuart, it's time to pick our next round for 2 weeks from now. And here's the thing.
This is your pick, isn't it?
My pick. And we are in the current decade. We are in the 2020s.
What? But we're only halfway through, Jess. What are we doing?
We did it in a weird order. You know, we did what we wanted. I don't know what we're doing. Do we know what we're doing the time after next time? Like, are we going?
Nope.
We should talk. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in between these two podcasts. But I have selected a film for us to watch, and I'm confident neither of us have seen it. And
rules out one thing I was going to suggest it was, but yeah,
I'm also fairly confident it's going to be really bad.
I am so up for that. Grace talking about like the Hallmark films opened up a world of possibilities for me for like these more modern picks, because there has been obviously a resurgence in just really on the nose crappy rom-coms, and me and my friends devour them. They are so terrible. So I'm so open to a bad film.
I've watched a couple really bad Christmas movies recently. There was one that was literally just a remake of like the Ebenezer Scrooge story. Mm-hmm. Literally, this lady, the character's name, it was her name is called Christmas Above the Clouds is the film. Her name was Ella Neeser. She had it was so bad. She had a an assistant named like Bobby. Like everyone was just so on the nose. It was horrible. It was such a bad movie. Truly, truly, like so on the nose with literally everything. No one was likable. It was a really bad movie. That one is one I watched recently. I watched another one with Chad Michael Murray thinking it was the most recent one, but turns out he's been in a lot of holiday movies recently.
You get some people who are just in so many of them. I can't, oh my god, my friends call her Dog Face, but she's
name. You're talking about Gretchen Wieners?
No, but she is in a lot of them as well.
She's
She does maths textbooks. And she was
Is she from Full House?
No.
The religious one?
No. She's one in the days. Other show, The Wonder Years.
No, not Wendy from Wonder Years.
Yes. It's Wendy from Wonder Years. Danica something.
Annika
McKellar.
Okay. She's in a bunch of Hallmark movies?
No. And they may not be Hallmark movies, but they are bad, bad rom-coms. And she is in so many of them. And I must have watched at least five with her in.
I guess she kind of does look like a Frenchie. She kind of has the same like face structure as like a Frenchie or a Chihuahua.
Mm-hmm. Have you
seen? She really is in so many. Oh my God. Have We Met This Christmas? Grounded in Love. A Cinderella Christmas Ball. A Royal Date for Christmas. Swing Into Romance. Christmas at the Drive-In. What?
They're honestly incredible. We
Christmas
sit around.
She wrote? What? It's like Murder. Christmas at Dollywood. You, Me, and the Christmas Trees.
There are so many of them.
They all say TV movie. I feel so bad for her. Yeah. Christmas at the Grand Valley.
Wow. Oh, gosh. Anyway, what's
Project
your pick?
Project NC Squared. I need your pick. Dream. Mommy, I didn't do it. Okay, I got to stop reading these. I got to leave it. Okay. My pick is a film with, you know, both stars of this film.
Okay.
It came out literally this year. It looks pretty bad. It stars Zooey Deschanel and Charlie Cox, and it is called Merv. And the plot of this movie is that a dog loses his spark when his owners break up, and they're forced to like co-parent this dog. And it's on Prime. That's how we're going to watch it. Because I was like, is this like a theaters movie? Like, do we have access? And we do. We indeed have access to this film. So we will be watching the movie Merv. And for those of you who are concerned, as was I, about does a dog die in this film? Because I will not watch a movie that has a dog die. There is a website that will tell you if dogs die in movies and if there's any other like trigger warnings you need to know about. Spoilers for the film. So if you don't want to know, just fast forward a little bit. Merv isn't going to die. So we're safe. We can watch the movie, okay? I wouldn't have watched it if he did.
But the dog is sad.
He is depressed. but I think I'll be okay with that. I think I could get past. As long as the dog doesn't talk, I'll be okay. Which it doesn't look like he's going to have a CGI mouth, so I think we're okay.
I don't know. Someone might get hit over the head and have one of those weird kind of like, oh, the dog's talking scenes.
I'm going to be,
like,
you know.
Whoa, you need to get yourself to the hospital.
I think you should put money on that, actually. That is probably gonna happen.
Yeah. I am so excited for this choice. I saw the trailer. I must have been shared in the PSR Discord at some point.
Someone shared it with us in the PSR Discord, and I looked up to see if it had come out yet, knowing that I had the 2020s pick. Yeah. So I'm really pumped about this.
So well done. Thank you so much for hanging on to that as a choice, because we had a very short list of possible films in this decade, and it was not looking good.
No, I just wanted something. I thought it would be really fun if because we haven't watched anything I have not yet seen. So I wanted to pick something I hadn't seen yet, and I think it's going to be really fun for neither of us to have seen this film. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be bad because it looks kind of like it should be bad. But that sometimes that's great. Sometimes that's really fun. So I'm really excited about this pick for next week. Well, 2 weeks, you know, anyway. And it'll still be like holiday season because it will come out right after New Year's. So it'll be, you know, seasonally appropriate. I think it's like a Christmas movie or something. I don't know. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Can I just say the IMDb score for Bridesmaids is shockingly low. I meant to bring this up earlier. Do you want to guess? Don't look it up. I see you Googling.
Okay,
don't Google.
I'm not gonna look it up.
You to guess out of 10 what you think it's at.
If it's shockingly low, it's not as bad as a 6, is it?
It's a 6.8.
That's terribly low for something
that's
that
what
is
I think.
So, I think
people
I can
love it.
Really. Yeah. I want to see one of those breakdowns. That way, okay, in the US it's a 7.2. Yeah, it's the UK that's dragging it down. We give it a 6.9.
Tell your people to get it together.
Yeah, blame Sweden. Sweden 6.5.
Sweden, get it together. Yeah,
get your shit together, Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden, make me come over there. You don't want me to come over there. Anyway, it's really low. Also, to give us some scores here, I averaged our current scores. Wait, did you change your say anything to a 6 and your holiday to a 6.5, right? Yes. Yes. Yes?
No.
Yes.
So, 5.5 and...
5.5 and a 6. Okay. I have to adjust this. Hold on. 5.5 and a 6. Okay. On average, you have a score of 7.13 for the four films we've watched. I have a score of an 8.5. I think we're living up to what we thought the podcast should be, which is that you're more of like the Scrooge McDuck, the cynical one. I am more
I hate
of
love.
I hate Uncle Jamie. Exactly. Perfect. So that's where we're at currently.
I'm okay.
So yeah, 2 weeks from now, Merv, everyone, go. What a name, Merv. Who needs a Merv. Dog, Merv? Seriously, what's wrong with you? Merv. So go check it out. I guess it's on Prime, so that's where I'll be watching it. Anything else, Stuart? Anything else going on? Anything else we need to talk about?
It was on Crying Laughing, which should be out by the time this comes out. Joining Grace talking about Black Swan, which was very drastically different from Bridesmaids. Nice to have Bridesmaids to bounce back onto and cheer me up a little bit. Other than that, yeah, just the usuals. Chat, get me out on socials at Stuart Drinks Tea. And yeah, send any feedback to us at you had me at gmail.com.
Yeah.
What about you, Jess?
Similarly, you can also hear me on Crying Laughing talking about Mad Men very recently. I subbed in for Ariel, so I chatted with Dr. Amanda all about Mad Men, and that show is just a, what a weird thing to be watching Don Draper in this movie. Very, very different. And then, of course, as always, covering Buffy over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, so check me out there. But yeah, amazing. I don't know.
Anyway, over an hour. I think we need to wrap this up quite rapidly because there's a colonial woman on the wing. Yeah.
Oh my god, she's churning butter!
Let's go!
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.